Hello, and welcome to Travel Along with Laura, the podcast where you travel along with me. I'm your host, Laura Lisensky. And if you haven't listened to this podcast before, I'm really trying to do two things. The first is to give you tips and tricks and advice and ideas of things to do if you are planning on visiting one of these places. And the second is, even if you're not, I want to bring you along with me on these adventures, help you feel the vibes of this place, so you can travel from wherever you are. So this is the first of three episodes on Belize and Guatemala. First, I went to San Ignacio, Belize's biggest inland tourist destination. Then we'll pop into Guatemala to explore Flores and Tikal. Then back to Belize to soak up the island vibes on Key Calker. In this episode about San Ignacio, I'll hit up the Belize Zoo on the way, tell you how you can DIY your trip to Zinantinich by taking a bus and a crazy little ferry to these Mayan ruins. And I'll talk to my friend Nadia about one of the most popular excursions to do from San Ignacio, the ATM Caves. This is an adventurous journey swimming and scrambling inside a sacred Mayan cave containing human sacrificial remains. So come along with me to San Ignacio, Belize. Hey Siri, call Carrie Valentine.
Calling Carrie Valentine, mobile. Yeah, girl.
Oh my goodness. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
It's so beautiful.
I know. Let's be in it immediately.
That sounds good.
I'm thrilled to introduce my girlfriend, Carrie, and I'm so excited to take you along with us on our first big trip together.
Look at this red throat.
They almost make like a double-layered sound.
Yeah, like one always starts it off.
So here we are at the Belize Zoo. Turns out the Belize Zoo makes a great stop on your way from Belize City to San Ignacio. So we landed in Belize City in the morning. Belize City doesn't seem to have a ton to offer. It doesn't need to be avoided, but it doesn't have a lot to draw you in either. So we decided our first day we were just going to book it all the way to San Ignacio, which is a few hours away. So leaving Belize City, you can take the bus. You can do the local bus or you can do the more express bus. Although from what we heard talking to other people there, the express still stopped plenty and didn't take a whole lot faster. It is faster. But if you're interested in going to the zoo, you have to take the local bus. Coming from the airport, though, you can also just have a taxi drop you a little ways away on the side of the road. It's not walkable. You still need a taxi, but you don't have to go all the way into town to the main bus station. And you can catch the local bus. So we were going to play it by ear, not knowing how much energy we would have after our plane flight. But when we realized waiting by the side of the road that we were going to be on the local bus anyway, going to the zoo seemed the right thing to do. And I'm so glad we did.
What?
It's like, it looks like it's feathers.
Whoa.
Whoa, that's terrific.
And this bus ride from Belize City to San Ignacio costs 10 Belizean dollars, aka 5 US dollars. They're linked, so it's always 2-to-1 exactly. So the zoo is right on the highway. I had my Google map up so I could tell when we were getting close and then just ask the people around me on the bus to tell us exactly where to get off. They speak English in Belize. The zoo also has lockers for your bags, so it makes a really nice stop on the way.
A puma, a cougar, and a mountain lion are all the same thing, and they call it a red tiger.
Where?
Laying down.
Oh, hey, sleepy.
Hey, girl.
The puma only purrs. It doesn't roar.
Mm.
Oh my gosh, its head is so small for such a big body.
Small head, huge hands, thick tail. Also looks well fed. They really have the life here.
So the big cats were cool. They also have a jaguar.
My name is Martin. I was raised as a resort attraction when I was abandoned. The zoo rescued me. Oh my goodness.
That's fucking gorgeous.
Wow.
I'm so sleepy.
It is a cat, isn't it?
I sleep 22 hours a day.
Spots are so pretty.
We saw signs for something called the Jaguar Experience. Figured it was some kind of feeding opportunity, but didn't really want to spend the extra money on it. We learned later from somebody we met in Guatemala what we had missed.
Oh my gosh.
And you get to feed him.
Oh my gosh.
You can stand up, right?
Yeah.
So when you stand up like this, you can put them in pieces of chicken and you will put this down him. Take the chicken off your forehead.
Oh my gosh. What? Off your forehead?
Yeah.
He licks it off
he
your
licks
forehead.
It up. Yeah. Chew the holes from the chicken.
Wow.
We wasted our time.
I know.
Now we have to go back.
We were just obsessed with all the leaf cutter ants at the Belize Zoo.
Yeah.
Didn't know we could be licked on the forehead by
a jaguar. By
a jaguar.
Yeah.
Now we know.
And now you know. So you can avoid regretting for the rest of your lives, like I will, what you missed.
This is Later Laura, here with an update. So that jaguar that did the forehead licking actually passed away a couple years ago. And with the new jaguar, you can do a feeding experience, but it's not forehead licking. So don't live with regret. Just know that crazy things are possible in this world.
We did, however, have some close encounters. One of our favorite things was watching the leafcutter ants.
They're doing the actual cutting here on these leaves.
Oh, the ants right in front of us. Oh my God, that's amazing. Oh, there's so many. Like this plant will be gone.
They're disassembling it.
This plant will be gone in 2 hours.
Right.
We need this. Get more.
Follow me.
Never stop getting it.
They're dropping them.
They just drop to the ground. They're like, it's faster to the bottom if you just drop. They do.
They really are. Like the
They're
ant.
Like, got it. I'm out of here. See you guys later.
The ant with the leaf attached.
Right.
Like a little sail.
Right.
What? I want to see another one go. There were a number of them doing it.
Right.
It seemed.
It was like pew, pew, pew. And they all had.
Yep.
Got it. I'm out. Yep.
Wow. Maybe I can catch the gentle plop.
Oh my goodness.
Of an ant falling with its parasail.
I was not able to capture that sound, so you'll have to believe me. The weirdest looking thing was the harpy eagle. I fell in love with this creature.
Dude! That hairdo, that face do. All regal, all judgy.
It looks like it. Ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
It looks like an owl head
uh-huh.
on an eagle body and then giant.
I was walking around with this microphone wishing we had smell-o-vision as well. I wish you could have smelled this place.
Sound like birds.
This place is like way bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. We can't even find our way out again.
Look.
Oh my gosh.
Part sloth, part anteater.
This is
Tamandua, northern Tamandua. Oh wow.
It was crawling on the ceiling.
Yeah. Part possum.
Whoa, look at it grab with that tail.
Look how cute it is.
Oh my gosh. Looks like it's wearing a little vest.
Yeah.
It also smells pungent.
So here's a good tip. Bring bug repellent, or as they call it here at the zoo, jungle perfume. We didn't have any as we had just gotten into the country, and just those couple hours at the zoo had us itching for the rest of the trip.
We're getting eaten alive.
Yeah.
We gotta get out of here.
So this isn't a giant zoo. It's more like a conservation center. that has a bunch of cool animals, but there was a lot to see there. We eventually were like, we just have to leave because we got to get to San Ignacio. So we went back out to the road and waited probably half an hour before another bus came by. These, by the way, are old yellow school buses from the U.S. Got such a kick out of riding these as public transport, especially when we would stop and the little stop sign would swing out. Felt like a kid again. Hey, Carrie, do you remember that time when we had our very first pelican?
I'll never forget it.
It was so cold, so crisp.
Was it that we were just so desperate for it? Is that why it tasted so incredibly delicious?
That was part of it. We had really been building it up.
But it did deliver.
And it was the best one we ever had.
The very first one.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it seems like every country has their main beer that's a light lager, crisp and delicious. So we were really looking forward to see what Belize had. And look, I've tried a lot of light lagers around the world, and I swear, Pelican is the best. As far as food in San Ignacio, there weren't a lot of wonderful restaurants. It's not somewhere you're going to go just to eat. Actually, some of the best food we had there was at the market. One restaurant I would recommend is the one that we don't know how to pronounce. So the official name of the restaurant is Co Ox Hana, but we heard people calling it Ohana. So after that delicious Pelican, we were ready to close our eyes for the first night in Belize. Musical interlude!
San Ignacio is a little town tucked in the hills in the jungle in Belize. It only has a population of 25,000 people or so. And yet it's the second biggest city in the country after Belize City. There are not actually a lot of people in Belize. So there's not a lot to this cute little town. There's a little river, the Macal River, that goes right through town. There's a little market. There's a main square. There's a little pedestrian zone that's like two blocks long that has a delicious coffee shop, but not a whole lot to see there. It kind of reminded me of La Fortuna, Costa Rica. Pretty small, pretty chill. And the reason people go there are to do all the excursions in the area.
So the next day we woke up excited to get out there and see Belize. There are so many day trips and places to visit from San Ignacio, it was kind of hard to choose. There's tons of organized tours you can join, and there's a lot of places you can explore on your own as well. So having just gotten there, we were really feeling like we wanted to go explore on our own. The Mayan ruins of Zunantinich are a great one to do on your own. It's really not hard to get there, but it is a little bit of an adventure. So to find these ruins, you can take a bus. You're just going to go to the main square of San Ignacio where all the buses stop and get on a bus to Benque. That's towards the border of Guatemala. They leave every half hour. You could also easily take a taxi. It's only 12 kilometers to where you're going to get off. So they'll tell you where to get off the bus for Zunantinich, but it's a bunch of handicraft stalls by the side of the road. And you'll see this little ferry. And by the way, if you need somewhere to eat near this ferry, right across the street and up the hill is a restaurant called Benny's Kitchen. There's a sign for it right near the ferry. And we heard people raving about this place.
It's almost the length of the river.
Mm-hmm. I know, the ferry is half the length of the river.
I mean, I took one little boat, so like ferry across, and I thought that was the smallest distance, but I think this is the smallest distance.
I want to describe this ferry, and I don't know how.
It's almost the width of the river.
It has a little roof, and it's got cables on both sides, and they turn a crank to get you across. It can carry cars, too. And here we are, disembarking.
That other person you heard with us is Nadia. We met her on the bus on the way to Zunantunich and ended up doing a lot of things with her on this trip. So after you get off the ferry, you have to walk a little ways down a dirt road until you get to the actual site. There's a little museum to check out, informational center. But the ruins themselves were so incredible. I feel like there's two things that are really special about these ruins. One is you really feel like you are in the middle of the jungle. You can imagine being one of the explorers that first found this place in the 1800s that just came across it. It would have been much more overgrown by then. They keep it nice and neat, but it's cool also that it's up on a hill, so you get great views. But these pyramids and structures themselves are also really striking because they have these carvings on them, kind of like a band of carvings that goes all the way around that's, I don't know, 6 to 10 feet tall, but the stone is just carved in these really, really bold, beautiful shapes. I've never seen another ruin with that same style. It was very, very cool. So you've got to climb to the top of the main pyramid.
Glad there's this handrail. Oh my gosh. What are these rooms?
There's bats.
What?
Look, one, two, three, four, five, so many.
Oh, there's one all over the floor. Yeah.
It smells bad in here. When you look up,
how cute they are.
Keep your mouth closed.
Mm-hmm. Which way is that? Is that Belize?
It's west.
So that's Guatemala.
Tread anymore.
Right.
That's Guatemala. We're only a mile from the border.
We're a mile. We
yeah.
are?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're like right next
to.
What's the name of the bus that we keep getting on? Bell?
Oh my god, man, okay. I got more bites.
Benke. Yeah, Benke is like the last town before the border. Do not sit on the edge. You don't have to tell me that. That is scary. So we're at the top of the tallest structure. And we are also on top of like the biggest hill around, so we can see in all directions. It's pretty cool to look down on the rest of this Mayan site. And there's just jungle, and you can see a few little cities. And lots of Belize. I bet we can see a lot of Belize. It's not that wide. And Guatemala's right over there.
You could tell walking around San Ignacio that we were close to Guatemala. A lot of people were speaking Spanish, and there was a lot of Guatemalan food in the market. We had some amazing pupusas, which I know is being food from El Salvador, but they've got them in Guatemala too, and they were delicious. Another cool thing about Zunantunich is there were iguanas all over the place.
Well, going to your hole.
What?
Into your little hole where you live.
Is that where it hangs out?
That's where it lives.
What?
That's like, just on display. This isn't a free show.
Tiny iguana-sized hole. That's its basking rock. I bet
it's
there,
and get
all
it out.
The time. Yeah, should I reach in?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Sure.
They have very sharp teeth. Actually.
It's a joke.
Razor sharp.
Side story. I know this from experience. So I studied biology and had the incredible opportunity to spend a few weeks one summer with my professor, living on a sailboat in the islands of the Bahamas, doing this long-term population study on iguanas. So we would just run around these little islands with nets and catch these iguanas, weigh them, record information, tag them, and set them free again. And we were all taught, if your finger ends out in one's mouth, don't pull it out, because those razor-sharp teeth will just slice it all the way down. Ugh. So it happened to me once, and I had to just sit there and wait for that iguana to open up its mouth again so I could pull my finger out. And I got a part way out, it chomped down again, and then it opened its mouth and I got my whole finger out. And it wasn't too bad. It was fine. There's a tip in case your finger ever ends up in an iguana's mouth. You never know what you'll learn on this podcast. Also at Zunantinich was this court for this ancient Mayan ball game. Here's our guide from Tikal, Hamilton, talking about it.
It's not very big.
No, it's very small because this is a ritual Maya ball game. The commercial ones are much bigger than this one. You know, during the post-classic period, the Mayans began placing vertical stone rings on each side of the court, with the object begin to pass the ball through one. So the archaeologists believe that the Mayans played two against two because the Maya ball game, the ball court is relatively small. The way to play was to lance the ball with the shoulder, elbows, hips, and the knees. Points were lost if the player let the ball bounce more than twice before returning it to the other team, or who let the ball go outside the boundaries of the court. So while the decisive victory was reserved for the team that put the ball through a ring. However, placing the ball through a ring was a very rare event. Okay. Archaeologists believe that the prisoners were demanded to participate in the Maya ball game, you know. And they believed that the losers were sacrificed, but before they were purified by burning incense, in the way their souls would live clean and pure.
It was also cool to walk all the way down to the other end and climb up the pyramid on that end so we could get an incredible view of the main one. We also passed other structures that were like half excavated, and there were signs showing they were working on stuff. And it was just really cool to imagine that there were still other things undiscovered all around us there. So let's talk about the things that we wanted to do and ran out of time for. First of all, the iguana place. We actually tried to make it to this place two times and just were always there when they were about to close or before they opened. So this place is called the Green Iguana Conservation Project. It's at the San Ignacio Resort. So you walk into this hotel and ask about the iguanas. Another big ruin in the area is the Caracol Ruins. These are supposed to be the best preserved Mayan ruins in Belize. They're a bit farther away from San Ignacio, though, than Zunantinich is. And last but certainly not least, we did not actually do the tour that everybody goes to San Ignacio to do. In fact, some people do tours all the way from Belize City or the coast to these caves. So these caves are called the Achtun Tunichil Muknal Caves, or ATM Tour for short.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, long time no talk. How are you guys?
So although we didn't make it on this tour, our friend Nadia did. So I gave her a call one day with a bad internet connection in a Las Vegas hotel room. Sorry about that. So she could tell us all about it.
It involves some swimming. It involves climbing. They do give you a helmet. You have your headlamp. And so, you know, in the cave, when it gets dark, you're going to turn that headlamp on. And there is, you know, some river crossing, but there are ropes across it. So you just kind of pull yourself across, you know, the streams and get to the other side, because the whole tour is going to start with a little trek through the jungle. It's about, I would say, you know, depending on how fast your group is, maybe between 30, 35 minutes to 40, 45 minutes of trekking through the tropical jungle. The guide will point out a couple of things on the way and, you know, give you some little bit of history. So roughly 40 minutes. And then once you get through the jungle, you are going to arrive at the entrance. There are no cameras allowed on this tour, which, you know, I was super bummed about. But there is a reason why you can't have cameras. And the reason is that one of the tourists, they dropped their phone on one of the skulls inside the cave and broke it. And that was the last of cameras. No more cameras allowed in the cave. Don't even think about bringing your GoPro or anything else. You won't even be able to start the trek with anything. And to be honest, there's no room for you to be carrying anything. You're just going to basically wear your helmet. Your headlamp's going to be on your helmet. And yeah, you need your hands because when you cross those streams of river, you're going to be pulling yourself across with, you know, assistance of a rope. So there's nothing that you should be taking. You're also going to be going through some, you know, crevices. Some of them are small. And so there isn't that extra space for you to fit through with, let's say, even a dry bag, right? So
even this conversation has me feeling a little claustrophobic.
Yeah,
kind of intense.
Well, I wouldn't. Yeah, I would not say that you would feel claustrophobic. The cave is actually pretty big. It's pretty open once you get into the different rooms, quote unquote rooms. Mm-hmm. But there are some tight spots. My advice to anyone who's thinking about doing this tour is go early. Pick a company that's going to go early in the morning. When I say early, I mean a pickup between 7 to 7:45 in the morning. If you leave from San Ignacio, it's, you know, it's going to be probably like a 45-minute drive. You're going to stop, get some snacks, and then you're going to continue the drive to the entrance. That way that you can kind of be one of the first people to enter the cave. And then when you start seeing the queue, you're going to be on your way out.
Yeah.
My group was not big. We were about 5 people.
Oh, that's a nice small size. I was imagining bigger. Yeah.
And the guide was like, okay, come on, guys, you know, let's get going. Let's try to be first. And he was trying to rush everybody and everybody was moving slow because everyone was still really tired. And then, you know, once we got going, we did want to trek a little faster because we wanted to have some distance from the other groups, right? We wanted to feel like the cave was all ours. And we were the first group that headed out while the others were still kind of getting ready and changing into their socks and shoes and that sort of thing. You are going to get dirty on this tour. So, you know, you're going to want to bring a change.
Yeah, did they give you like water shoes or anything like, or did you just?
No. So what I wore was like a pair of leggings. So it's best to wear things that kind of fit your body because, you know, again, you're going to be in water. You don't want your shirts or your sleeves like flapping around or, you know, jackets filled up with water and you're going to be going through the cave. So, you know, you want everything kind of close to your body, right? I wore a smart wool thermal shirt, like a long sleeve thermal shirt that I tucked in to a pair of full leggings all the way down to my ankles.
Because the water's pretty cold, and right?
You don't even think about it. And as you're in the water more and more, and especially in the cave, it's actually really nice and comfortable, like especially inside the cave. I wouldn't think you don't need to worry anything about the temperature of the water. It's going to be fine. And once you get in the cave, it's going to be very comfortable. And actually, you're going to probably really enjoy swimming through the cave. I really enjoyed swimming through the cave. I have read some things like online about wearing a wetsuit or like bringing gloves. No, that's extreme.
So there's the natural beauty of the cave and there's the adventure of getting there. But what makes this cave really unique is that it was a sacred Mayan ritual site.
And then you start to see all of these pots. And so I was just thinking, oh, these are just signs of life, right? People living in the cave. And then you're kind of wondering, well, why would they choose this location with all of the stuff that you have to do to get here.
Uh-huh.
How would you live your daily life doing all of this just to get to this portion of the cave and then, you know, go and come the same way, like swimming and climbing? And so in the beginning, as I started to see all of these different pots, I was just thinking that this was evidence that life had existed in the cave. And then as we got further back, the guide started talking about the ceremonies, and that those pots were actually not exactly cooking pots, but they were pots that were part of the rituals. Those pots were actually like offerings, and they had everything to do with the sacrificing. They were not cooking pots.
Right.
And then, yeah. And then there were, of course, like tools. You could see the tools that they used, and those were made for cutting flesh. So, you know, again, not cooking utensils, not
killing tools.
These were killing tools. Exactly. And then, you know, you would see parts of the skeleton, right? Maybe skulls or, you know, bones. There were a lot of Maya rituals that were performed and human sacrifices that were done to their gods. And so these sacrificial ceremonies were done by priests, and they were sacrificing even babies. To see skeletons and then to think about it, that this is from 1500 years ago. And, you know, these were people, these were children, and now all you see are their remains. I would say that the most fascinating thing for me was the fully preserved skeleton at the very kind of end of the cave.
Do you remember if they know how they chose the people that were sacrificed? Like,
you know, I don't know if I have this correct, but I remember him saying something about people that they thought that were witches. And so they needed to be killed. Now, I don't know if that's all of the sacrificial victims.
Okay. And it sounds like not volunteers who were.
Oh, no, because there was a skeleton that the way that it was laid out, you could see that it was bound. Its hands were bound. I don't think any of them were voluntary.
That's so intense. I can imagine like being inside this cave, like that's where it happened, you know, like.
Yeah.
And a cave is not a not creepy place anyway.
Yeah. And you know, and then you start thinking about how you got there, right? Like, like I said, you shouldn't even be taking a dry bag with you. These people were going in the water holding like candles lit they don't have headlamps, you know?
Right.
So imagine like you're one of their victims and they're dragging you through this cave and they're holding lit up candles and, you know, taking you to the spot that they're going to sacrifice you. I mean, I don't even know how they took their victims there because it required climbing in small areas and, you know, swimming through water. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's not like it was just easy to get there and then to be going there also with candlelight and then taking somebody who's probably resisting.
That is crazy.
I mean, could you imagine? Originally, I just thought, oh, these are signs of life. Oh, these are the pots that they were cooking. And then to find out that this was actually a sacrificial site.
Way darker than you thought.
Yeah. The tour just got more interesting.
Yeah.
So it was worth it. At the end, I mean, it took me probably 3 days to decide whether or not to go on this tour. But I would say that it was worth it.
Back on this trip and these first couple days in Belize, it's crazy to me how quickly Carrie and I, who were traveling together for the first time as well, felt just so comfortable in Belize, started making friends in San Ignacio. We were ready to grow some roots and stick around a while. And a big part of that was where we stayed. We stayed at Bella's Backpackers Hostel. This is one of my favorite hostels I've ever stayed at. It's a great deal. It's not fancy, but it's nice enough. It's clean. But what I loved about it was just the people there and the vibe. This was Carrie's first hostel, and it was a great start. It might have just been while we were there, but there was a great mix of age groups. As someone in my 40s, I feel pretty out of place if everyone's in their 20s. And it wasn't huge. It was a small enough hostel that everybody just hung out together. There was a really welcoming vibe. There was a little bar on the roof. Every evening, they always had free rum punch, and everyone would gather around and hang out. Rum punch was a big thing in Belize. And every night we were there, there was an event. One day it was, let's all go to the arcade bar. We didn't join in on that one. Another night was to a bar that had live music with local bands. And we actually knew some of the people in these bands from hanging out at the hostel. And we had a super cool special moment when they were playing a song we knew but had no singer. And Carrie went up and sang with them. It was pretty awesome. A stranger aspect of this hostel was their offers for late night tattoos. Carrie and I briefly considered getting one until we got to know Pedro, the tattooer, a little better. His tattoos were super cool, but a late night one might have been a bad call. So the next day, the owner of Bella's Backpackers invited us out to see her farm. She was a really fascinating expat who has lived in Belize much of her life and raised her kids there. So we couldn't say no to this invitation to see a farm outside of town and see how some other people live. So we hopped in a taxi with her son the next morning. It was really cool to get into this jungle around San Ignacio. They were actually outside a little town nearby named Cristo Rey. We met the neighbors too, had some coffee, wandered around a bit, saw some howler monkeys across the river. It was incredible. Then she was going to give us a ride back, but the car wouldn't start. We got to have an adventure waiting by the side of the road for the bus, hoping something would actually come by. Eventually, we did get back into town, but we had to scrap some plans because we had to catch a shuttle out of town that afternoon.
Even though we missed out on some things we were planning to do, I'm so glad we took advantage of that opportunity to meet people. You can plan a trip packed with activities and tours all you want, but once you get there, be open to changing all that. When I think back on all these crazy trips I've taken over the last few years, it's the people I connected with along the way that I remember, whether that's other travelers or locals. Going on an impromptu excursion to the San Blas Islands with Yulia, sharing a meal with a family on a train in Morocco, that last-minute Temescal ceremony in Mexico that was such an intense bonding experience, hopping on the back of Mohammed's motorcycle in Fez and exploring parts of the city I never could have found on my own. I really think that just being open to meeting people and open to changing your plans makes these things happen. It's also one of the things I love most about solo travel. These kinds of things happen a lot more. So the fact that these things were happening traveling with Carrie told me that I have found a truly excellent travel partner.
I was super sad to leave this place. I definitely could have spent a few more days there, maybe a few more years there. But we were also real excited to see what our next destination would bring.
Thank you for listening to Travel Along with Laura. You listening means so much to me. I'm a high school teacher doing this in my spare time, and any support I can get from you listeners would be amazing. If you like my podcast, please share it. Please give it a review. I mean it. Go do it right now. Go give me a review. You can follow me on Instagram at Travel Along Podcast. You can find Travel Along with Laura on Facebook. Please check out my Patreon page. I've got photos there from each episode. I've got maps showing you where the places are that I discuss in each episode. You can sign up there to get updates. And you can also throw me a few dollars
to support the podcast. Coming up next, Carrie and I continue our adventures by crossing over to Guatemala to visit Tikal. So these are some very, very impressive Mayan ruins, and we'll be staying on a little island on a lake called Flores. We get ourselves into some pretty good adventures there. So I hope you'll join us then too. Thanks for traveling along with me. So haven't you?
That's papaya. I love a buttress.